Right, it's nice to see you all and have this wonderful opportunity of coming and speaking to you. We'll be doing it twice a week in the will of the Lord, on a Tuesday and a Thursday. And we're going to follow a particular theme, one that's very close to my heart, but one which I believe is of great importance to you all. Let's start by turning to the Epistle of James. So if you have your Bible there, and I know you have, turn to the Epistle of James. That's away toward the end of the New Testament, and we're going to just consider some verses in the chapter 5. That's the last chapter. You'll find James right beside 1st and 2nd Peter, and then 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. Of course, when you read the Gospels, you usually did find James and Peter and John going about together. And here we have them in the Bible together. So, I'm sure you found the 5th chapter of the Epistle of James, and we're going to read from the verse 7. Just a couple of verses, but you carefully notice verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. What's a husbandman? What title do we use today? I thought some of the boys would have told me that one. Is that a handle? Yes. I'll ask one of the boys. A farmer. That helps us to understand what James was talking about here a little more clearly. Behold, let's call him the farmer, the man who labours in the fields, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Now in Israel, at the beginning of the season you had rain, that was at the time of sowing, and then close to the time of harvest, you had the latter rain, and both rains were needed to produce a harvest. One to start the growing, the other to fatten up the grain at the end of the season. So, the farmer, he plants his seeds, and then he patiently waits for the former and the latter rain. And James then says, verse 8, be ye also patient. You believers, you Christians, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now, my theme is going to be the coming of the Lord. And these words are interesting in that James draws a parallel between the farmer waiting from the moment he sows the seed through the season, the rains that are needed, the sunshine, of course, that's needed until the harvest. Patiently waits. He waits with the knowledge that by the mercy of God there will be a harvest. He is sure of that. For God has promised, you know, seed time and harvest shall not fail. God has promised that. So the farmer's waiting confidently, patiently, knowing that the harvest will come. And I would say from the springtime through to the harvest, he never really forgets that field that he planted and what it is he is expecting from it. And I would say it's the same with our farmers here. They sow their seed, let's say barley. And when they sow it, they wait for a week or maybe two. And then they have a wee look at the field just to see, is the growth beginning? Are the shoots coming up? And he's encouraged, of course, when he sees that. And then through the rest of the season, he again keeps an odd look at it. Maybe even sprays the field in order to assist growth and keep down that which would harm the harvest. And then as the season comes towards an end and harvest is drawing near, he goes out again. And he'll go out and he'll pull a few of the seeds and he'll rub them in his hand just to see how they're doing and know when they're ready for harvesting. So he really never forgets. He's always thinking about that field. Now, Christian, the Lord is likening his coming to the harvest time. And he wants us to be like that farmer. He wants us ever to bear in mind that the Lord is coming. Oh, the season began a long time ago. That is, the Lord Jesus left this world some, 2,000 years ago nearly? And that's a long time to wait. But he said he would come again. And just as the harvest always comes round, so the Lord is coming again. And you and I, just like the farmer who believes harvest will come, God has promised, you and I have to be waiting for the coming of the Lord. Those words are repeated in verse 7 and then again in verse 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Patient waiting. Verse 8, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now those words were written, again, nearly 2,000 years ago. James said to the people to whom he sent out this epistle, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now he was not saying it's going to happen next week, or next month, or next year. Wasn't saying that, for James didn't believe that. You see, James knew what God had said in his word would take place before the Lord Jesus Christ came again. He knew that God had a lot of things that he planned to do before Jesus comes again. So he wasn't expecting him next week or the next year or whatever. What he is saying here is that the coming of Christ is ever drawing on. Now if I mentioned Christmas holidays and told you that you're going to have Christmas holidays and that the Christmas holidays are drawing nigh, you know that I don't mean they're going to happen next week. After all, this is only the first day back at school. And you know it'll not happen next month. You know there's a period of time will have to pass before those holidays come round. Well, nevertheless, I can say the Christmas holidays draw nigh. They're drawing on. They're approaching. They will arrive. And that's what James is here saying about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is drawing on. It is getting nearer. It is getting nearer. And I want you to recognize that it is the responsibility of the Christian to never forget, never let that fact slip out of their mind, but ever be conscious that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Let me say one or two things here in this, our first study. The Bible gives us a map of all the events that God has planned will take place. God has shown that in his word. We can look back, for instance, and the first great event was the creation, when God, in his infinite wisdom, decided he would create the world. And all that we know, all we can see in the skies above, on the earth around us, in the waters, in the sea, God created that. And he did it in 6 days. The Bible tells us that. Created it all in 6 days. Then the next great event that I want to draw your attention to was the outworking of God's plan of redemption. You see, man fell into sin shortly after creation, but God purposed, planned, to save out of all lost humanity a people for himself. In the Bible they're called his people, his flock, his elect. And God planned it. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost brought together a plan of redemption. And that plan was wrought out at Calvary. You remember the Lord Jesus on the cross, one of the things he said was, "It is finished." And he was referring to the outworking of that plan that he, in conjunction with his Father and with the Holy Spirit, set up in eternity. That plan has been accomplished. The price has been paid for the salvation of those that God set his love upon. That's accomplished. It can never be undone. It will, in the end, result in those that God chose for himself being in heaven. They'll get there because Christ at Calvary paid the price of their redemption. So that's the second great event. Creation, redemption. Now the next great event lies in the future. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the next great event that will take place. I was reading a few days ago how that scientists have discovered somewhere in the universe that there is a huge rock hurtling in the general direction of the earth, and they have given a date. I think it's March, about 100 years from now. There's a possibility, they say, that it will collide with the earth. And if it collides with the earth, it will wipe out everything. But that's just men talking rubbish, as usual. Let me tell you this. God has purposed how things will work out on this earth. And the next great event is not a big rock coming out of space and hitting the earth. The next great event is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Subsequent to that, there will be other events. We'll come to that in the process of time, I trust. But the point is this. I want you to keep in your mind, and if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you never again to let it slip from your mind that Christ is coming again. Christ is coming again. Now, this is a vital subject. Maybe you say, I don't hear it preached too often. That doesn't alter the fact. It's a vital subject. It's a most important subject. And the reason I say that is because of the number of times it's mentioned in the Bible. Now, if you find God referring to something again and again and again and again, you can conclude God considers this matter very important. And again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And I could add another dozen more agains to that statement. You will read in the Bible about Christ coming again. In fact, and the folks in Kilskerry will know these verses because I have mentioned them very many times. From the very beginning of mankind, God's servants, preachers, prophets, were preaching on this subject. In the little book of Jude, now that's only over a couple of pages, I'm sure, from where you are now in James. If you turn to Jude, that's the last book in the Bible but one, you will find that Jude mentions a prophecy concerning the coming again of Christ. Jude, the verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment. Now we don't need to go any further. Here is Jude telling us that Enoch, the seventh generation from Adam, and I do like to point out that Adam was still alive when Enoch was alive.
And it is very likely that Adam was there in the meeting.
Or meetings. That's likely to be the case, for I'm sure Enoch spoke on this subject on a number of occasions.
But Adam was likely to be there when Enoch dealt with the coming again Christ. So how far back's that? Nearly 6,000 years ago, the boys and the girls were being taught about the coming again of the Lord Jesus. 6,000 years ago.
Not just the boys and the girls, but the mommies and the daddies as well.
And they were being taught certain aspects of the Savior's return. I want to ask you, especially you older one, what could you tell me about the coming again of Christ? What could you tell me the Bible says will happen when he comes again? How well informed, how well instructed are you in that matter? Are you acquainted with what God says about the coming again of Christ? Because they were 6,000 years ago. This great man of God, Enoch, was preaching on the subject. Preaching on the subject.
You can turn over to the book of Job. Turn over to the book of Job. And there in Job, that comes before the Psalms, in the chapter 19. Job. Let me tell you, Job lived a long time ago. Job would have lived around about the days of Abraham. That sort of era. It's reckoned that's when we should think of Job living. Now that's a long time ago. That's a long time ago. Really wasn't that much after the flood. Noah's flood. But what do we learn concerning Job and the second coming of the Lord Jesus in chapter 19 of Job? Verse 25, listen to what he says. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin the worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God.
Now, there's a lot there.
He's talking about his own resurrection. When, long time after he dies and is buried, he nevertheless, by the power of God, is going to be raised out of the dust. And he will stand again on the earth. And when he does, he shall see God. He's talking here about the second coming of the Lord Jesus. He's talking here that when Jesus Christ comes again, he couldn't have told you the name of the Savior. Did you know that? If you would have said to Job, what is the name of this Savior you trust in, this Redeemer you trust in? He couldn't have told you. Why? Why could he not have told? Because it wasn't until he was born and Joseph was told, you shall call his name Jesus. That's the first time the name of the Redeemer was revealed. So even though Job couldn't say what the Redeemer's name was, he could say, he's going to stand on the earth in the latter days and I will see him. I'll be raised out of the dust, even though by the natural process this old body of mine will crumble away to nothing. Nevertheless, I will see God. And that's thousands of years ago. Job knew these things. Do you know them? Do you have these truths at your fingertip? Job had no Bible. There was no Bible written in the days of Job. And yet he knew this. He has taught this. It had been taught by his father and his father's father, etc., on back. Do you have a Bible in which is contained all that God has to say about the second coming of the Lord? Oh, that you might know more about this subject. We're going to be looking at it. And I hope we're going to be from day to day ever more conscious. The Lord's coming again. The Lord's coming again. We'll just bow in a word of prayer.